Welcome to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. Mommy Oyoyo is a platform for the modern African woman to talk about anything and everything related to motherhood in today's world. Join me, Berry Dakara, as we tackle the good, the bad, the ugly, the highs, the lows, the wins, the losses, and everything else in between. Mommy Oyoyo is your plug for real-life gist and experiences about being a mother, African style. Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Mommy Oyoyo podcast. This is episode 68, and I am your girl, Berry Dakara. I'm hoping that you guys have missed me because I've missed you guys. I'm so sorry for, again, another just random break. I don't even know what happened to me last year. I only published, what, I think 10 episodes the whole of 2021. I don't know what happened, but I'm not going to repeat that. One of my goals for this year is to clock 100 episodes, which means that I have to publish 37 episodes. So that's my goal for this year, is to publish 37 episodes. And this is the very first one of 2022. Happy, happy, happy new year. In this episode, I'm going to talk about my co-parenting experience. In previous episodes, I've talked about, I think, being a single mom and what else? I think finances as a single mom or something. Either way, just wait until the end of this episode and make sure you check out the other episodes that you might be interested in if you enjoyed this one. So I'm going to go ahead and tell you about my co-parenting experience. So, co-parenting. Oh my gosh, listen, co-parenting is not easy. It's not easy, especially when you're not on, I guess, good terms with your child's other parent. Where do I even start from now? Because I guess basically since Coco was an infant, her dad and I have effectively not been together. At first it was because he was still in Nigeria. He hadn't moved here. But also, like, our marriage, I think I've mentioned this before, but our marriage started to crumble, I think almost before she was born. But really just, like, came to a head, like, right after she was born. So honestly, Coco has never really had both of us together as parents, apart from, like, maybe the first 8 weeks of her life when her dad was here right after she was born. But by the time he left and went back to Nigeria, like, things were definitely, like, on very, very thin ice. And they just never really recovered, which for me, in a way, is okay because Coco doesn't quite know better, better in quotes. But yeah, so our co-parenting has been, it's definitely had its downs. I'm reading this co-parenting book now, and it's called Co-Parenting 101. I can't remember who the authors are, but it's by a divorced couple who, from the very beginning, they made it a point to ensure that their children were their number one priority. And so reading through that, this is what I'm reading now, but I feel like when my ex and I started, like, when it was definitely sure that we were going to be apart, one thing that I wanted to make sure of was that I never blocked access. Like, I never blocked his access to her. I wanted it to be that when she gets older, like when she's 16, 18, whatever, she would never be able to say to me, you know, mommy, why did you keep me from my father, right? Which I guess in a way is kind of selfish, right-ish, but at the same time, I was also just thinking of her. I wanted her to be able to have a relationship with her dad if she wanted to and if he wanted to. Now, just because our relationship was ending, just because we were bad partners to each other, and yes, we both were bad partners to each other, I will say it, you know, wholeheartedly, not like, you know, I'm not remorseful, but we were bad partners to each other towards the end. Just because we were bad partners to each other did not mean that we were bad parents to our daughter. There are some people that may say, well, since the other person is not in this child's life, like all the time, then they are not a good parent, but that's not really true. If nothing else, I can say that my ex-husband, soon to be ex-husband, because the divorce is not through yet, it's still not through, there's nobody that could have said to me, you know, he doesn't love her. He might have different ways of showing that he loves her, right? But deep down, I knew that he loved his daughter. So there was nothing, there was no way that I was going to try and stop him from seeing her. There was no way I was going to try and stop him from having access to her. There were even times where I can tell you this, like there was a period, there have been periods where we have absolutely hated each other, as in, I don't ever want to see you again in my life. You can go and do whatever I want to do with your life. I cannot be bothered, right? There have been those times, but even in those times, you know, I had to rise above my own pride, my own ego, because if he wanted to call and talk to his child, that was his right. And so I would have to put my ego, put my pride, put myself away. I mean, he would call, I would turn the phone on and walk away just because I did not want to be in his presence at all, even though his presence was on the phone. I didn't want to be in his presence at all. There were times where we could not even manage half a conversation, where our interaction was by email only, because I'm like, listen, if we talk, it's yelling, it's screaming, it's cursing each other out, and all, yes, we did those things. So just to maintain some kind of peace, it was, you know what, let's just keep this thing by text or by email, because actually, no, there was a time where it was just email, because even texting, you know, on WhatsApp is easy to be texting back and forth. And then there are times where he blocked me, other times where I blocked him. And I'm not proud of those times, but I'm just trying to be honest here that those were some real times. With co-parenting, at least with our co-parenting journey, I feel like our basic priority really was Coco. But again, there were just times where we could not stand each other. And we have had moments where things were just really, really bad, like I've mentioned some now. But at the end of the day, because Coco was the priority, we both had to let aside our pride and our ego for the betterment of our child. And to be honest, I believe that in situations where couples are no longer together, I don't think that it's right to keep your child from the other parent, especially if the other parent is not a danger to the child, and if the parent wants to be involved. It's a different thing if, you know, that the other parent is a danger, or if the other parent just doesn't want to have anything to do with the child. Those are two different scenarios. But I believe that if the other parent is interested in having a relationship with the child or children, then you as the custodial parent, you should try to do what you can to at least don't get in the way of their relationship. Let them have their relationship. You know what? If it's that, you know, that's, I'm going to have a separate episode on like co-parenting 101, things that I've learned over the past and from reading and everything. I'm going to have that episode. But for now, I really want to talk about our own co-parenting experience, right, from my side. Things kind of changed a little bit. So the first, like, almost 3 years of her life, her father was in Nigeria. I was here doing everything by myself, like finances, physical, taking care of, emotional, everything. I was just me, myself and I, parenting, although with my parents as well, helping out with grandma and grandpa, helping out. But as far as like biological parents, it was just me doing everything here for the first 3 years of her life. And then he moved from Nigeria to here. I want to say when she was almost three was when he moved here. And, you know, he immediately said he wanted to have access to her. I wanted to see her. I think he said he wanted to see her. Was it every weekend or a few times a week? Which, you know what, I was fine with. I'm not going to lie. There was a period where it was like, am I sure he will not try to kidnap this child? Anybody that listens, even if he listens, listen. It is a common fear that custodial parents have when it comes to the non-custodial parents. It's a common fear. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen. It doesn't mean that you're going to kidnap your child or anything. But that was a fear I had like for maybe like 3 seconds or something. But yeah, he wanted to be involved from the get-go, helping to take her to school, which he would do maybe 2 or 3 times a week. And then on weekends, he would take her for about like an hour or two, which, you know, freed up some of my time to do whether I needed to go hang out with my girls or watch a movie or just relax at home or something. So that helped. Now, when he came, there was still a lot of tension. There was still a lot of tension because we hadn't seen each other in how many years at that point. And there was still a lot of resentment, still a lot of anger. I can't say that there's still that much now. I think things have calmed down a little bit. I don't think that they're 100% like gone. But in those first few months, it was heavy. Like, I remember one time we argued in front of her. Like, in front of her, I think she wasn't paying attention, but we started arguing in front of her, and I felt so bad, you know. I know he felt bad as well. Like, are we really doing this in front of her? And that's not something that we wanted to do going forward. And, you know, I will admit that sometimes I can be some people say dramatic, but I don't agree with that. I will admit that that sometimes I can be fiery and passionate. Let's say it like that. I can be fiery and passionate, right? but you know what? After that arguing in front of her, I didn't want to do that again. So I don't think we've done that since then. And at the time, she had just clocked 3 years old. What else? So then I think after a year of him being here in the same vicinity in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area, he then moved to a different state. If you guys follow him on Instagram, I don't follow him, but I believe that he shared that he joined the US Navy, the American Navy. And so he had to move to a different state where he's stationed. And so that kind of just took me right back to the day-to-day parenting by myself. Now, not to say that there was day-to-day parenting when he was here in Atlanta, because he didn't see her every single day. But at least he was there maybe 2 times a week, maybe 3 times a week. At least on weekends, he would take her, like I mentioned, for like an hour or two, right? What was I going to say? I've lost my train of thought. Hang on 1 second. Okay, yeah, so we went back to him being away and doing phone calls and video calls, WhatsApp calls to see her, to talk to her, right? When he was here, though, before he left, there was one, I think it was a Saturday. Yeah, it was one weekend where I said, listen, I definitely need time to myself. I do, okay? So I've booked myself a hotel room. I'm leaving at, I think it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. You need to come and pick up this child on Saturday. And as you pick her up, do not look for me for the next 24 hours. So let me just pause there. You know that whole fear of what if he kidnaps her? See, that's what I'm trying to tell you, is that it was an unfounded fear. Some people legitimately have that fear. I've heard stories. I've heard all kinds of stories. And every now and then, like, we'll get emergency alerts about parents who have kidnapped their children from, you know, the custodial parents. But so on this particular weekend, I said to him, listen, it's Saturday, 2 p.m. Don't look for me for the next 24 hours. Don't call me or anything. If it's an emergency, you can find my mom or you can find my sister. Fine, you can find me too. But please, please do whatever you can in your power to just give me this 24 hours. And I checked myself into a hotel. I slept. I watched TV. I swam in the pool by myself. Like, it was just a very relaxing time for me. And that's something that I was kind of looking forward to doing on a regular basis if he was still here, but he wasn't. So, yeah, he moved to a different state to start his naval career. And so far, I think we've gone to see him twice. I've taken Coco for a weekend, I think once in August and then once in October of 2021. Right. Yeah, I had to take time off of work, which, yeah, well, you know, it's whatever. I take time off of work, but for me, the reason why, and I've had a couple of people say, wow, Berry, you actually carried yourself on a plane to carry your child to Ghana, saying, why aren't you making him come to Georgia to see her? And it's like, you know what? It's, I guess, multiple fold. Number one, he can't travel as much as he would have preferred. I think, I don't know. This is what he says to me. But he can't travel as much as he would have liked to see her. And number two, Coco loves traveling anyways. So, you know, any opportunity to get her on a plane, I don't mind that. Number three, this one's for selfish reasons, because as we get there, I'm going to my hotel room for the next another maybe 24 to maybe not up to 48 hours, but like for at least 1 to 2 days. I'm going to a hotel, so I don't even mind taking her up there. Whereas if he came here, I'm still staying at home. Yes, I have my time to myself, but you know what? I like hotels too. And, you know, I'm not the one paying for them all the time, so why not, right? So I would say that things now, and those times, you know, things have still been a little bit tense. There was a period where it seemed like things were getting better between us, where we could, you know, where I could feel like maybe we can be friendly again. And to be honest, that is my goal. I would like for us to get to a point where we can be friendly. We don't have to be good friends. We don't have to be great friends or anything like that. But I would like to go from, you know, being just civil or just cordial. I'd like to be able to, hey, how are you? How's your week been? Okay, great. Take care of yourself, you know, whatever. Like, I wouldn't mind getting to that point. And at a point last year, I would say that it seemed like we were getting back to a friendly-ish point. Unfortunately, there was an incident that happened where it's like, okay, we're going right back to square one. It wasn't like hatred or anything, but it was just, yeah, we're going back to just civility, you know, where we only talk about Coco and nothing else. And for now, that's okay. I try not to be rude to him. He is not rude to me. Do we still have disagreements? Of course we do. We still have bunches of disagreements, but half the time, it's like, listen, he doesn't have energy to argue. I don't have energy to argue. Whatever. What does Coco want? You know, and then we keep it moving. So yeah, I mean, things are not the best now. They are definitely far from the worst. Definitely far from the worst. But they are not as good as they can be. I'm hoping that we can get to a better place as co-parents. As part of our divorce process, which I initiated in the summer of last year, finally, like after how many years of knowing that we're not going to be together, I finally initiated the process of getting divorced in the summer of last year. And as part of the divorce, because we're in Georgia, we have to take a children of divorce class where both parents need to take this class and receive a certificate. And in that class, they're basically just teaching you about co-parenting and how divorce can tend to play out in a child's life and ways to mitigate any adverse consequences of divorce in a child's life. So we both have taken the class, and hopefully within the next month or two, I don't know. Hopefully, I don't know at this point, but the divorce will go through soon. So yeah, that's kind of how like our co-parenting experience has been. Like I said, we've had some really, really bad and hard times where we could not stand to talk to each other. We could not stand to be in each other's presence by phone or by anything. But again, the overriding priority was Coco and her maintaining a relationship with her dad and also with me. I mean, she doesn't have a choice because she lives with me, right? She lives with me, so she doesn't have a choice. But the priority really was just to make sure that she knows that she has two parents who love her. And I think she definitely knows that. She definitely knows that her daddy loves her. She knows that mommy loves her as well. And, you know, we have a very good, well, I have a very good support system here. Grandma and grandpa, and then my sister, my cousin, like they all live close by. So Coco is pretty good. So yeah, that is my co-parenting experience. I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And if you did, I would like to hear a little bit more about my experience or maybe some single mom experiences. You can listen to the previous episode, which was Dating as a Single Mother, which featured Ibu B, who was a second time guest. And yeah, she talked about dating as a single mom. She's remarried now. Or rather, she's married now. In episode 66, I talked about child support and my opinions on child support. Another episode that you might be interested in listening to would be episode 54, where I talked about single mom life. I think that's a pretty good episode. It's actually the most most popular episode on the podcast, where I talked about my experience as a single mom. Another episode that you might be interested in listening to if you enjoyed this one would be episode 31, which features Vera, aka Verastic, and she talked about dealing with divorce as an African mom. And I think that's someone, see, she's in a situation where she's not co-parenting because it doesn't look like her ex-husband is particularly interested. And again, there are situations like that. So something that I like to say on this podcast is that motherhood isn't one size fits all, same way as co-parenting isn't one size fits all. So yeah, that might be a good episode that you might be interested in listening to. And then finally, episode 25, where Ibu B talked about life as a single mother. So I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode. And again, I'm sorry that I disappeared randomly, but I look forward to publishing another 36 episodes at least for the rest of the year. But you guys follow us on Instagram at Mommy Oyeyo and also Twitter. I'm not very active on Twitter, but there's a Facebook group or page, one of them. And you can also check that out. I'm trying to do a little bit better this year. So again, thank you very much for listening to the episode, and I will catch you on the next one. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Mommy Oyoyo podcast, real conversations about motherhood for the modern African woman. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please subscribe to Mommy Oyoyo on your preferred podcast player, share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To keep up and join our conversations online, you can follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Mommy Oyoyo. Also check out our website at www.mommyoyoyo.com and feel free to send feedback via email to mommyoyoyo@gmail.com. Thanks again, and I'll catch you next time.